Hello and welcome to the Gospel Points Podcast, where the gospel is the point. Thanks for joining us for another week. I'm your host, Kevin Thompson, and man, have we got a program today. This is a program that you're going to be talking about later. It's a topic that we don't normally discuss here, so we're going to get right into that after our weekly poll question. So our weekly poll question, of course, is posted on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin J. Thompson. That's at Kevin J. Thompson on Twitter. So the question is, which option do you prefer when sitting in church? The options are pew, stadium seating, individual comfy chairs, or folding chairs. And the winner is individual comfy chairs. That would have been my guess, that the majority would want that. In second place, a tie between pew and stadium seating, and no one voted for the poor folding chair. And yeah, I'm not a big folding chair guy, but I do say my answer to the question, pew. I would much rather have a pew. I'm a big pew guy. I'm a big guy anyway, but maybe that's why I like pews. Traditional, classic, you can't go wrong with the pew. As long as it's padded. As long as it's padded, anyway. Stadium seating, I'm just not into that. It just doesn't have the feel of church. Anyway, that doesn't really matter. Just a little fun here this week. All right, let's get to our topic today. Our topic is, well, marijuana. I'm recording this introduction anyway on April 20th or 420, which is a big time for pot smokers everywhere. And so I thought this, I was actually planning on a different program today, but 420, I just had to, you know what, I'm going to capitalize on this, do a little bit of marketing for the podcast, and we're going to go ahead and talk about marijuana. So joining us is Mark Ward, who is one of the authors of the book we're going to be discussing, which is Can I Smoke Pot, Marijuana in Light of Scripture? So Mark Ward is, he's an interesting guy. He used to work for Bob Jones University, which is where I had some contact with him before, and so really interesting question, really interesting book. It's a short book, it's bite-sized. I encourage you to get it, buy it. And so we're going to talk about it right here. Can I smoke pot? And we're going to ask that question to Mark Ward. Well, Mark, thanks for joining us. And the book that you've co-written here is certainly one that's needed to think through this issue from a biblical perspective. And I really appreciate the way you start off the book, because you start off with kind of a biblical theology. You're establishing a biblical worldview through which we're going to look at this issue, and really it's a foundation that we really need to set before discussing any modern-day issue that we could be coming. So talk to us a little bit why you started there.
That's a fantastic question, and our shared background, I'm presuming, at least our educations were similar in hugely important respects, is one of the big reasons that I did that. One of the great strengths of the sector of the American Christian Church, which raised and nurtured me, was its firm awareness of what they would call worldliness, and I think that's a totally appropriate title,
right?
But I might also call depravity and total depravity the effects of sin on all of the world, and we were suspicious about a lot of things that we should have been suspicious about. However, I came to realize over time that evil in the Bible is not, it doesn't have its own separate existence. Instead, it is the twisting of the good.
Right.
And I came to see how important it is to start with the goodness of creation anytime you want to talk about worldliness. Otherwise, you're liable, as Al Wolter says in his book, seminal book, Creation Regained, you're liable to blame on God implicitly, maybe, some of the problems in the world, you know, saying that if you say that marijuana is itself wicked, well, who made it?
Right.
That you're blaming God. So we need to start by saying it's good. Now, what is it good for? That's another question, but we have to start by saying, as God did about marijuana and all the things he made, it is very good.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because, I'm assuming, as you said, shared background. Emphasis on worldliness, and so we need to stay away from the world, but we forget what that word world means, or what that concept is, because the world God created was good. Everything he created in that world was good, and this is where you go into creation, fall, redemption. Yet the right. fall of man did occur, and so what God created as good has now been twisted, and so this good creation now has bad effects that we have to be careful of. So when right. we get into the question of marijuana, we can make the startling statement that marijuana as a plant is good, yet it's not something you might want to light on fire and shove in your mouth. And that's right. like a kind of a basic understanding, but that's exactly where we're at. So how do we go about answering that question? Well, how do I take something that's been corrupted by the fall and then focus on redemption?
Yeah, well, it all depends on what that something is. The answer is going to be very different. You know, marriage has been corrupted by the fall,
right.
but nobody's ditching it. If I could think of, boy, I'm sure that snowmobile racing has been corrupted by the fall, but that doesn't mean I personally am required to go do anything about it.
Right.
The answer to your question depends to a degree on your calling and background. I didn't have anything to do with marijuana myself. When I lived in South Carolina, I don't know that I honestly ever even smelled it. If I did, I might not have known. I worked in some not so nice neighborhoods for many years, and I probably did encounter it and maybe just didn't even know. But now I live in Washington State, where right down the street from me, actually on our way to church yesterday, as we talk now, it's a Monday, there was a guy with a sign, and he's flipping it around, you know, twirling it and trying to attract people to come in, and there's all these flags, a brand new store selling marijuana right across the street. They are renovating an old house to turn it into a marijuana, I want to say dispensary, but that makes it sound medical. It's not. It's for recreational use. So that happened to me. The Lord brought us here about a year and a half ago, and we see this around us. And then I got this opportunity to work on this book. And so I am called to answer the question, you know, how can we or should we redeem this? And my answer has to go back to, when it comes to marijuana, it has to go back to the creation of goodness of marijuana. We want to find out what was it created to do? All of the good resources in God's creation can help us in some way further what is often called the creation mandate, Genesis 1, 26 through 28, you know, take dominion, subdue the earth, uncoil its potential, figure out how to advance human needs, to meet human needs, to press God's world towards its ideal through the things God has created. And to kind of borrow from what we'll probably end up talking about a little later, you know, there are things that marijuana can do and do uniquely well, like making rope. And I feel confident there are other uses for it, which are totally benign and more than benign, good, because God created it. And that's what it means to redeem marijuana in this case, to find out what are its righteous uses and to put it to those uses.
So we're approaching this from a biblical perspective, yet... I've read some people and some commentaries where I don't know where they're coming from, but they're seeing some sort of reference to marijuana in Scripture. But in actuality, I can't think of a place where marijuana is mentioned. So how do we deal with a topic that's not, from a scriptural perspective, that's not actually in the Scripture?
The Westminster Confession of Faith that many Christians would be at least mildly familiar with in America, whether they formally subscribe to it in their denomination or not, starts with, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. They would generally know that. Something else that it says, a phrase that I've thought of often, and my co-author wanted to make sure we had in the book, and I thought this is an excellent point, is that when we answer our moral questions, the Westminster Confession says that we need to not only obey what the Bible says explicitly, but obey what it says by good and necessary consequence.
Right.
I have really dug into one theologian, John Frame, who's been extremely helpful to me. He's excessively biblical. He is using the Bible faithfully and using it all the time in his writings. And one of the points that he's made really effectively, I feel, is that if you don't know how to use the Bible, a given passage of the Bible, then you don't really understand what it means. His classic example is somebody who is stealing donuts, and you say, well, the Bible says, you shall not steal. And he says, but it doesn't say anything about donuts. If this person claims to understand the Bible and yet is not able to use it to apply to the real world, he doesn't really understand. the Bible doesn't have to mention explicitly everything, either good or bad. It's able to speak in general terms. So on the good side, Paul says we must be careful to devote ourselves to good works. Mm. Some of those are specified in the Bible, but not all of them are. Likewise, the characteristics of the flesh are given in general terms, and we're told things like expose the works of darkness and reprove them. We're told don't conform to the world without necessarily a lot of specific examples. We have to take those general things and by good and necessary consequence apply scripture to our lives, including questions about marijuana.
Well, we're talking about the book, Can I Smoke Pot? Marijuana in Light of the Scripture. And one of the key biblical principles that needs to be applied to this topic and that you mentioned here in the chapter is the issue of what does the government say? We are, let's say, most of the people who are listening to this are probably politically conservative. And among our conservative circles, it's popular to, especially under the past 8 years, we're small government. We want to resist totalitarian dictatorships. We want to stand against what we see as evil within the government. Yet, I like the quote from the book. He said, you know, we often probably should tear apart some of our bumper stickers we have in our car and just simply put there, honor the emperor. So talk to us a little bit how the role of government plays into this. And really, for most people living in the United States, it's a settled issue whether we should be smoking pot or not.
That's another great question. I worked at BJU Press for 9 years on the Bible integration team. Sometimes we called ourselves the biblical worldview team, depending on who we were communicating to, just to try to get across the idea that our responsibility was to look at history, math, science, literature, K through 12, and try to make sure that it's all shaping a Christian, a biblical worldview, and not just claiming to. It's really easy for marketing copy to say that's what we're doing when on any given page, it's no different at all from the secular textbooks. We had three PhDs working essentially full-time and sometimes more than that on this topic. And I personally, as one of those PhDs, learned a ton and loved my time there. One of the key truths that was really drummed into me through my own study and ultimately my lead authoring of a huge textbook called Biblical Worldview, Creation, Fall, Redemption, which I commend to listeners and is also part of base packages and Logos Bible software now, which is where I work full-time now. One of the points that really came as new to me was that it's not just stuff that God created, but if you will follow my reasoning here, social institutions like government are also direct, I believe, creations of God. Now, I say direct, maybe I could say slightly indirect, because it's not as if God set up a government, although he did that later in the Israelite theocracy. But this is the reasoning. If the people of the world in early times tried at all to fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it, to work and keep the areas that God had given them, they're going to very quickly run into a situation in which government is necessary. So you've got two farming villages on the same river about 30 miles away. If one of them starts to use that water for irrigation, that's wonderful. That's subduing the earth and taking dominion over it. But what if that takes away the water from the next town? They need to have some kind of governmental authority to figure out how to appropriate resources, even in an unfallen world. If you follow that reasoning, and I go much deeper into that, and my co-authors do in that book, Biblical Worldview, then government also is a creation of God, even if indirect, and I'm willing to say direct. And therefore, it is a positive good. It's not just there to restrain evil, although that is true. Romans 13 says it. And in this case, however, restraining evil, when it comes to marijuana, might be the main thing that it does. And that's a necessary thing in a fallen world and not something that Christians should be suspicious of, because Paul in Romans 13 is so explicit that the government is placed there as a minister for good. I mean, how many people in the world would feel comfortable saying that about their government? Small government conservatives may not, but Paul doesn't always sound like a small government conservative,
right,
especially there in that passage. So if the government tells us you must not do this, unless the Bible tells us you must do it, for example, preach in Christ's name,
right,
we need to obey. Paul is absolutely clear. It's a little difficult now because we have Caesar speaking out of both sides of his mouth.
Mm.
He's got a state mouth and a federal mouth, and my state is speaking a little differently than the federal government. There are complexities here, but Tom Breeden and I, the co-authors of this book, argued, and we totally agreed with one another, didn't have any dispute over this, that the better safe than sorry approach for now is to obey the federal government, even if the state government is speaking differently.
Well, we have really just begun this conversation, and I do want to say before we end this segment, I agree with you in that government, I believe, to be a direct creation from God. I think you can see that in the garden with Adam and Eve. I think we see even with our first sin, a failure of Adam to do his job governing the garden. But that's another conversation for another time. We're just about done with this segment here, but Mark, it's our tradition here at Gospel Points that we end each segment here with a random question that has nothing to do with anything we've been talking about thus far. So are you ready for some randomness?
Is that the question?
No, that is not the question. Good try.
Okay.
But no.
I was trying to get out of it. Okay, I'm ready.
All right, so you have just witnessed a mob hit, and you've been placed into the witness relocation program. So tell us, where would you move, and what would your new name be?
Oh, boy. I can stay in America for this?
You can stay in America, yes.
But do I have to?
No.
Okay. Well, I think I would prefer to stay in America near family. But I could move just across the border into Canada and maybe throw them off my scent. And there are some really nice places up there I could still commute to my existing job. So Vancouver or Abbotsford are nice places. And then I already have a pseudonym, Mike Wood. I've already kind of established that, though not publicly, that would be my first answer.
Well, here's the problem. Now you've just told us that. So if this scenario play out, this podcast being widely popular, I'm sure the mob would be listening. And so I apologize, but you're probably a dead man now.
Will go to heaven.
Well, thanks for joining us, Mark. Mark's going to be back with us next week, and we're going to continue the conversation about his book, Can I Smoke Pot? We're going to get into some more issues with that. So join us back next week. Well, we're going to continue this conversation next week. In fact, next week we're going to ask you a very important question. What about the connection to alcohol? Is there a connection between, hey, alcohol is a legalized substance, it's not good if you get drunk, but you can use alcohol, I believe, in a scriptural manner for enjoyment without getting drunk? Can we do the same thing with marijuana? We're going to talk about that question next week. So until then, don't forget to check out our website, www.kevinjthompson.info. That's the blog, that's everything else you'll see. There'll be a link on how to buy the book there. Of course, you can just go to Amazon, but we'll have a link to it there on our blog. And don't forget to tweet this out to your friends, post it on Facebook, put it on anything you want to get the message out to come to the Gospel Points podcast and listen to this episode. So until next week, have a great rest of your week.